My name is Philip Miller. I am a composer based and working in Johannesburg in South Africa. I've always been very interested in the relationship between sound and visuals. For me, there's a fantastic alchemy or chemistry that can happen that's almost can be difficult to unpack or explain so easily. The grammar of those two languages seem to really have an extremely strong effect on each other. Working with the visual artist William Kenton's of collaboration, we often start off at the same point. We will explore together different ideas in terms of sound, and then we separate from each other. I will go back to my studio and develop some ideas and thoughts around this particular project. He will do the same, and then we will come back together normally in a few days, and we look and see what we both have done and look at the relationship that is developing or not developing, depending on whether there's something interesting, and then continue a collaborative conversation. And sometimes there's an idea that visually will I might work off that idea, so there might be something in the images, the content of the work, that will give me a sense of something, and sometimes a sound will give William an idea visually. So it is truly a collaboration in that way. I expect when I work with William that the space sometimes is not an ideal space for sound. I am often aware of that. I have to think very carefully if I'm going to work with something incredibly quiet and something that needs total silence around it. So if I were to suggest something like that to William, if we were going to work in sometimes with incredibly delicate, sound that is quite difficult to hear if there's other noise around, we would need to probably discuss something like that first. But a lot of the work I do, I am certainly knowing that it's not going to have total quietness in the venue. And I just accept that as part of the work. Yeah, I just suppose it's like this thing of you walking in the street, there's noise. You're listening to the radio whatever, there's noise. And I just have to accept that's part of the work. My compositional work often starts working from the source of collaborating with other musicians from the very beginning. So the musician or the singer will come in right at the start of the process, and we will explore sound and ideas together. I believe strongly in the collaboration of artists together. I tend to work from sound first rather than something that is written first formally on music paper. So there's a sort of sculpture of sound that comes out of an improvisation. So I work hugely with improvisation. That's not to say I walk into a room with not having quite a set of ideas of what I want to do, but it means that I allow for everyone's creativity to enter into the process. So there's a strong level of collaboration in the way I compose. I think I'm hugely interested in voice. South Africa has an extraordinary tradition of choral, of singing, of voice, and it comes from various different sources. So it both comes from, let's call it, the own traditional African music itself, from people who sang much more than they play drums. Often people think, oh, drums, Africa, drums. It's not. Southern Africa, it's voice, not drums. Yeah, I think Northern Africa, there's more drumming. But in South Africa, we are a culture of singers, which means that there's a huge variety of different people exploring their voices. Both, of course, in colonial times, the missionary churches brought singing over from Europe, so there was that crossover. So there's been the influence of both Western choral music as well as traditional, more African sounds of voice singing. And I love voice. For me, voice is sort of at the root of my work. And I'd say voice in its broadest sense, so speaking, talking, sighing, crying, singing. I like the sonic and oral landscape in our country, so that hugely inspires me.
To Border Gate, South Africa Border Gate. From South Africa Border Gate, we've got another train to Joburg. To Joburg. Joburg.
You know, I grew up during apartheid, and voice was also the voice was used for so much of protest song, expressing dissent against apartheid. Those were all ways in which voice was used. So it's a very powerful, for me, tool, emotionally, politically. It's very important for me, the voice in South Africa. So I often go to voice as my first language, first musical language.
Going through that process.
To some extent, as a working composer, and what I mean by that is someone who sort of makes a living, I have to be very open to different musical languages and genres, because I think, well, they're for many reasons. One is that I work also with film, and the moment you work with other collaborators, filmmakers, they have their own ideas of what they want in terms of sound. And, you know, if you walk into a room with a visual collaborator and say, well, this is the music I write and this is my language, it might not work out, a collaboration, because you'll say, well, this is how I write my music, and that's, they'll say, well, that's very nice, but I'm looking for something else. And I've always enjoyed exploring different musical languages and sound languages, so I jump from different genres a lot, and I'm at ease with that idea. So firstly, it's quite a fluid thing for me, the way I work. So I will work maybe with a particular Zulu a cappella singing called Iskatamiya, which is in fact part of the Mayan project, which is a very, very traditional vernacular way of singing, a cappella singing from the mine workers. I will work with that straight into concrete, you know, sounds, concrete music, concrete, and work with that. And I see very interesting relationships where, when I workshopped the piece of the mines, I'll go back to this piece because that's what we are also talking about, is I took the choir, we worked with them, this choir, very traditional conservative choir, and what I did was I took the sounds of their voices and I then workshopped with them this idea of letting them make noises and sonic sounds that were not for them usual, for their own particular language, but was starting to make an interesting connection to perhaps more contemporary high culture music, but without it being forced, and not me saying, now you need to listen to some Ligeti or you need to listen to whatever the latest new... It was just say, let's take that sound that you're singing. Maybe there's a piece in it where they whistle, which is also, whistling is a very strong Zulu tradition. So they're whistling, and I said, now, this is interesting, this whistling sound. Let's explore the sound of whistling. And then let's make something out of let's sculpt a piece of sound out of your whistling. So we're doing something that is very creative, very collaborative, and it's coming from many traditions. You can come and listen to that sound and say, oh, this is like, you know, very high culture contemporary sound, or you can listen to it and say, wow, that's like a Zulu whistle sound.
You eat at the hostel, you can save your money.
Maybe I'll just tell you a little bit about the project from beginning, just to start off. So the project is called Sebenze Imine, going down into the mines, which is the Zulu word for going down into the mines. And how this came about was a composer here originally from Rome, Lucia Ronchetti, came to South Africa as a guest of the Goethe Institute in South Africa. So we met and we had interesting conversations together and we kept in contact, and then the Deutschland Radio Kultur asked her whether she'd be interested in making a sound piece for radio with me in South Africa. And the idea was to do this piece during the World Cup last year.
There were no families like ladies. It was only men.
And we decided to work with the idea of the sound landscape of the mines. The city of Johannesburg was built through gold, through the mining of gold and the gold mines. And so in a strange way, the city that we live in has an acoustic landscape underground that is really the source of the city above. That is how we built this crazy city, Johannesburg. Very oppressive labor system under apartheid, where black men were forced to go and work under the mines and white men owned the mines and took the gold, and that was how the city of Johannesburg really got built. So it's a very emotive thing as well. It's not just purely about geography, about geographical landscape. It's not just purely about an underground soundscape that is the verticality. It's also about politics, about human beings and the loss of life. And of course, all over the world today, there are terrible accidents in mines, and mines are spaces, are these underground spaces where people die and people don't always survive, and under harsh conditions they work, and yet somehow they're quite invisible. So we took this project on together, and the idea was to work with a very strong tradition of Zulu mine workers, the culture of Zulu mine workers. And one of the big cultures, there's many things they had developed over the years when living in the mines, and they lived in hostels, which were special areas set aside, special residential areas for workers, separated from their wives and their children. They lived in these hostels, and of course they sang some very wonderful kinds of choral singing called Isigatamiya singing, which is this choral Zulu singing. So we took that element of the a cappella Zulu singing and use that as an element to which create our sound work. So we worked with this choir in a workshop for a week, exploring ideas of what that sound would be. What is that sound underneath the mines? I went down a mine, so I went down the deepest mine in Johannesburg and worked with those sounds.
Go down and beat up. Scared. Don't be afraid. We are still living. Get used to it. Don't be afraid.
We created a sound collage of raw material, which we then shared together. We developed the raw material together in South Africa as two composers, and then we both took the raw material away and worked separately with our own particular musical languages. What we were trying to do with this piece was work more with a human voice sound. Not that we weren't just using sounds from the mine, but that was primarily, I mean, there's a funny story about the mine sounds, because when I went down the mine, I went on my own. And in fact, by the time you'd finished putting on the overall and you had to have goggles and a helmet and gloves and all of this, all the uniform of it, I was really struggling to work everything. And it was so hot, and I was really anxious down there, and I really struggled to record. I was, in fact, sweating and really feeling really anxious, not happy at all down in this mine. And when I came back from, we were there for maybe 3 hours or 4 hours, 3 hours, I think. I had only maybe half an hour of sounds, because most of the time I'd not been pressing record. I had completely messed up with the sound in this going underground. So in fact, I didn't have a lot of sound in the mines, but I don't regret it, because in a way, what it did was it gave me the feeling of it without me needing to say, okay, I'm going to make a literal more... I decided to use voice as the language more to make things happen for me. So in a way, it's a human expression of the sound deep below, rather than the sounds themselves.
The smoke out. It's hot. It's hot. It's hot. That they can get to cool them down.
There was something so important for me as a South African about not keeping the human voice very much part of this piece. So because I felt so strongly about that these spaces underground, these vertical, these underground caverns, are not spaces, they're inhabited by people. And that's what's so extraordinary for me. And they have been, always been like this. I find that for me very powerful emotionally, to keep that, not to lose that. Not that it becomes just mechanical sounds, because that is in fact for me not what I'm trying to say with my work on this piece. It's about how we built the city from humans, and how there were human beings exploited by, you know, a government for a year. Not just a government, the colonies from word go. I mean, that's how, yeah, there were people who died for building this city. Well, I tell you how I work. I work, as I said, I start with all this raw material, the sound material, whether it's some of it was created from the workshop, and then I obviously work using sound software, and with that what I do is I start to sift through it, and what I call is I find it's the equivalent of the old-fashioned way of imagining a motif. So I find a sound motif in my work. It might be I did a piece, another work called Rewind, which is a cantata I did, and I started building the piece of music working with the sound of a woman going like that. So that became the piece. So I find little sounds, little gestures that I then develop and build from, and then I do all the And then to some extent, it's about listening, keeping on listening, going back and listening, hearing and listening, and just listening with your ear all the time, going back to stuff. And I don't think I have anything magical about my process that is like I would say I keep on listening to things. That's the way I try and work as much as I can. I have a sound in my head, of course, like most composers. You have your sound in your head and you try and find a way. Occasionally something will surprise me. I love mistakes. I love letting sounds collide with each other. That's part of making the process work for me, is allowing things just see what happens. Let's put that with that and see. Sometimes it speaks to each other, sometimes it doesn't. So I'm interested in all of those processes.
Radio Papesse è un progetto a cura di Carola Haupt e Ilaria Gadens. Radiopapesse.org